Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What up, Pizza Gate Fathers? Welcome back to the program. This is the episode of the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Sky Guasco, joined by my man, Christopher Benavides of the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast. We're here with the Week 15 game previews. We're also going to knock out last night's game with the Chiefs and the Chargers, a barn burner there. Chiefs eventually pull away 34-28. Chargers had multiple opportunities to win that game. They do not. We're going to talk about all of the COVID madness going on in the NFL this week, and I will give you a heads up early in this episode. It is, it's Friday evening. We are recording this episode. We have a game tomorrow, no longer multiple games. We'll talk about that in a second. We have a game tomorrow as of now, but that could also be postponed. Multiple games have been postponed this week, moved from Saturday to Sunday, Saturday to Monday. We have Tuesday games also as well. Harken back to last year when the Ravens had a game that was moved 6 days, I believe, in postponement. They eventually played on a Wednesday evening. The NFL will get these games in the best that they possibly can, even if teams like the Washington Football Team or the Cleveland Browns don't seemingly have a quarterback. That doesn't seem to matter to the NFL. They will get these games in here for their money rights on the commercials. Nonetheless, us as fans are excited about that. We got football pretty much every day, starting Saturday, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. We got a brief recap on Wednesday, and then we're going to get into Thursday night football, which I believe is done for the season. So I'll have a couple days off until next weekend, but it is madness, man. We should have Christmas football, but we're not sure if that's even going to happen. Once again, Christopher Benavides with us this evening. Chris, it is a madhouse. You and I were talking about your home league has some unique rules where you drop waivers once you get into the playoffs. So that's a problem in your league. I have issues in some of my leagues as well as we're moving up waivers. Like, are we going to have waivers now Wednesday night, Thursday night? Are we going to do waivers early? Are we going to have a second set of waivers? Do we increase FAB because we're starting all over in the playoffs? It is nuts, man. We've avoided COVID for the most part in the big picture most of this season. But here we are when it matters most. First week of the fantasy playoffs for most of us, second week for some of us, and here we are with the COVID bug back around here. Welcome into the show, of course, and what are we going to do here, man? What can you tell the listeners in to prepare the best that they can?
Nah, dude, there's not much to say. I think you just got to eat your L if your dude's on the COVID list. I mean, I'm dealing with it. I've accepted it. There's no good answer at the moment unless you've thought of one, my man. You can sell that one, put it behind a paywall, and make some money off of it, because I ain't got nothing.
Yeah, I think the only thing that you can possibly do, and this is really cheesy and cliche, but you just really have to be on your toes, head on a swivel kind of thing. If fantasy football, next man up. I mean, all those kind of cliche things really is true, because we're having players drop like flies. Also, on top of all this, we have just regular NFL injuries, which we deal with every single season as well. So we have a couple marquee players out. We have big time players like Terry McLaurin, who I don't want to play at this point because he doesn't have a quarterback. I mean, it's a real tough week here in the first week of the playoffs. But the one thing I always kind of think about, Chris, when I'm in this situation, I'm dealing with it and it sucks. But guess what? You're dealing with it. Bobby's Everybody. Dealing with it. Buck and Levy and Jordan are dealing with it. Everybody in fantasy football is dealing with this on a different landscape here. So it's kind of an even playing field. You just hope that you are more healthy than your opponent, which usually in fantasy football, it comes down to that anyway. So we do have the Week 15 game previews coming up. But before we get into that, Chris, let's just quickly talk about and recap last night's game. Crazy game, fun game to watch. Frustrating for me as a Justin Herbert fan. Again, watch him in high school, of course, college here in Eugene, Oregon with my Ducks. And the Chargers should have won that game by 20 points. A, Justin Herbert should have had five, six touchdowns. I'm not exaggerating. He should have had 40 plus fantasy points and just frankly didn't. They go forward on fourth down four times. Three of those inside the 5 yard line, Chris. First and goal inside the five, can't score. The Chiefs aren't the Chiefs for the entire first three quarters. Of course, you can't keep them down forever. They wake up in the second half. Boom. Kelce, huge game, game winner. 69-yarder before that down to the 1 yard line. Tyreek Hill goes off. CEH had a decent game. Patrick Mahomes, vintage there at the end. And of course, unfortunately, the Chargers defense couldn't maintain all night long. And the Chiefs end up getting the W, which is a huge win because the Chargers could have taken over first place in the AFC West. Huge game, a lot of implications for NFL playoffs. For fantasy purposes, everyone really kind of got what you wanted in fantasy, but could have been a much bigger night for Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense specifically. I don't think there's any reason to panic or be worried about any of this here, but moving forward, I think Herbert just kind of lets you know that even on like the worst possible night he could have had, he had 27 fantasy points in most standard leagues. Everyone else was able to eat. Reactions on last night.
Yeah, from a fantasy perspective, I mean, I think everyone had a great game. It was one of those divisional games. We talked about it on the Commish podcast where I feel like these divisional games are either, you know, shootouts and a lot of guys get a lot of points and or, you know, they're sort of quiet and, you know, the defenses step up and kind of play a toe-to-toe matchup in the trenches. And so, yeah, from fantasy's perspective, I think everyone kind of ate. I have Austin Eckler in my home league and I was a little nervous because the reports were coming out. He was questionable. He was going to get half the workload. He did get half the workload, but he, you know, was as efficient as he possibly could be with the workload he got. So Eckler was fine. Obviously Hill popped off. Kelce was a madman last night. And then, you know, Mahomes and Herbert had great games, including, you know, Keenan Allen. So yeah, fantasy was a great game. From an NFL perspective, yeah, I mean, the Chargers could have easily had this game in the bag. I think that the fumble there by Jackson in the end zone, that was a absolute soul crusher for the Chargers. I was low key pulling for the Chargers because I'm a Pats fan and, you know, I don't want the Chiefs to be, you know, taking over the number one seed here. Also, dude, the Chiefs look scary right now. I mean, they're starting to come alive. Their defense is playing well and their offense is clicking. So that's not the team you want to face in the playoffs, you know, especially if they have a bye.
Absolutely agree. And again, the Chargers had the opportunities, couldn't get it done. So the Chiefs move forward and make it happen. All right, we got a couple questions coming through already here. We're going to get to those in just 1 second. Before we do that, I want to give a shout out quickly to one of our first sponsors here today, and I want to give a big up to our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the rest of the NFL season and the NBA season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all football and basketball action this season. Make sure to head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code BELIEVE50. That's BLEAV50. BELIEVE50 to receive your bonus. From football to basketball to NHL to boxing to UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the rest of the 2021 seasons. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Chris, let's get into it here, man. We got week 15. We have every team on the dock this week. We have no more bye weeks. Now, again, multiple games have been postponed. So as of right now, we have every team playing, but we have no more bye weeks. We have the Chiefs and Chargers that have already gone in, but let's get to these game previews. We got 15 to cover. We'll get through it as soon as we can. Before we get into that, though, I see some new names in our chat thread. So I want to give a shout out to them really quick as we get going. A lot of start sits here. So Yak Benji's on Twitch shouts out. Thank you for tuning in here. Should I start Connor over Kamara, Harris, or Patterson to PPR? Well, Damian Harris is out, unfortunately, so he eliminates there. So, Chris, who are you starting here, Connor, Kamara, or Patterson in PPR?
I think you got to go with Connor. But, I mean, can you play Connor and Kamara? Is there not a flex spot that you can't play And then other part is like, can you play all three of those guys? So,
yeah,
I mean, what wide receiver would you sit? Because I'd sit a wide receiver for all three. So
I think I agree here. If I'm ranking them, I'm going to go actually Kamara, Connor, Patterson with Nuke Hopkins out for the Cardinals. I like Connor, assuming he's healthy. So
yeah.
Kamara would be number one for me. Good luck, Yak Benjis. All right, Moreno, Michael Gallup or Deontay Foreman, PPR?
I probably would roll Foreman slightly, just given the edge. I just think there's a lot of too many weapons on Dallas. So, but Michael Gallup's balling too. I don't know. That's a tough one, man. I probably lean Foreman is my guess right here.
Got it. Likewise, also going to go Foreman. All right, Marcus Valdez, half PPR, Ramondre Stevenson or Cordarrelle Patterson?
I'd still go Patterson, but with Harris out, I mean, Ramondre looks very attractive. When we talk about New England, I'm going to say start Ramondre. But if you have a flip of the coin between the two, I'd still go Patterson here.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go Patterson as well, especially in half PPR. Well, best of luck to you three and anybody else in the comment section. Feel free to give us a like, subscribe, and a boost. We really appreciate it. If you want to get the podcast side, download the podcast and subscribe to Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast anywhere you listen to your podcast. We appreciate that. Best of luck to all of you. All right, Chris, here we go, man. Let's start with your Patriots going up against the Colts in Indianapolis. Patriots coming off the bye week here. Colts coming off the bye week. -2.5 Colts favorite. That's interesting here. The Patriots have the number one seed in the AFC currently, and the Colts have the home favorite by about a field goal here. How do you feel about your Patriots this week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're coming off the infamous 14-10 three pass game against the Bills. So yeah, this is going to be an interesting game from an NFL perspective. I mean, you know, we're very aware of Tom Brady coming off of byes. We're not so sure about how Mac Jones comes off of byes. We're not sure if the team's going to be rusty. If the bye week is good for them, typically with the Bill Belichick team, bye weeks are always been favorable, especially this late in the season. So I'm very curious to see how they're going to play against a formidable opponent from a fantasy perspective. We just talked about it. Harris is out. So, you know, if you do have an ability to play Ramondre Stevenson, I would absolutely do so. He did lead the New England backfield at 24 carries in the game against the Bills with 78 rushing yards. He also played a season high 63% of offensive snaps that game. So I do like Stevenson in that particular matchup. I don't like Carson Wentz, though. So the Patriots are at least they're ranked having the third best defensive DVOA rating in the NFL, and they're giving up the second fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. So in general, you know, Wentz has more or less taken a back seat to fantasy for fantasy purposes, with Jonathan Taylor being, you know, the focal point of that offense. He's only thrown for 200 yards in three of his last four games. So not loving it for Carson Wentz. That's probably the guy I'm a little bit nervous about mostly.
Start Michael Pittman against J.C. Jackson?
Probably not. No, J.C. Jackson has the lowest man-to-man, I believe, passer rating in the NFL at the moment. So I don't like the Pittman play.
Yeah, number two on that list, very surprisingly, rookie Patrick Surtain.
Yeah.
Dude's an animal, but J.C. Jackson's the truth there, and Michael Pittman I would stay away from as well. Bill shuts down the main threat, so do you think they put eight in the box and just make Carson Wentz beat him?
Tough to say. I mean, Carson Wentz is good. Like, Bill,
he is.
If anything we know about Bill Belichick, he respects all positions, all players. He'll talk highly of almost everybody. So although that, yeah, they'll probably, you know, plan for JT, they're not going to, you know, forget about Carson Wentz and his ability to make passes. So I think it's going to be a little bit of like a let JT funnel, but like everyone has to do their job. It's the Bill Belichick, do your job. So the offensive line, I mean, the defensive line, linebackers have to, you know, block those holes.
Yeah. Can't sit Jonathan Taylor. So you're playing him, of course. All right, folks, as of right now, this is a Saturday game. This game is a Saturday game. As of right now, it could be postponed if there's any more COVID issues, but make sure you're alert to that in your fantasy rosters. Make the changes tonight just in case, and then get back at it tomorrow for updates. But this is a Saturday game, Patriots, Colts. Moving on to Sunday here, we got the Panthers and the Bills. Bills, a 12-point home favorite against Carolina. Carolina seemingly no offense here. They're starting Cam, benching Cam. Obviously, CMC is out. DJ Moore not able to do very much. Unfortunately, we got to get him out of Carolina or get him a quarterback sometime soon. But not really any weapons here. Chuba Hubbard just isn't even Mike Davis, unfortunately, from last year. So not much happening for the Panthers. For the Bills, again, up and down seemingly every single week here. 12 seems a bit high. I know it's the Bills, but still, it just I can't really trust the Bills right now. As I mentioned earlier, Emmanuel Sanders is out in this game. Josh Allen should be starting in this game, but he is not 100% either. Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley could have a bigger game. I like Dawson Knox a lot, still fading the running backs.
Yeah, dude, these spreads are nuts this year. I don't understand where they're coming from.
I've been saying it all season with you, Chris. These are college spreads. I've never seen this in the NFL.
I know, it's wild. Yeah, I agree with you, dude. The Chuba Hubbard thing, man, it sucks because he is a good – I think he's a good player. He's obviously not CMC. But unfortunately, I think he's a product of what the offense has been doing lately in that, like, he had – like, last week, I think he had zero targets. Like, right. How are you not getting your running back the ball at all? So, unfortunately, I would say sit Chuba Hubbard with the current scenario. But, yeah, dude, it's a little saddening to see him in that scenario. Dawson Knox, I do like this week. In general, Knox ranks as a number four tight end overall in PPR and fantasy. So, from a tight end perspective, anybody that has Knox is playing Knox. So, go ahead and play him. But I'm not loving Gabriel Davis. I just think there's too many weapons right now on the Bills. So, for a flex start, I would lean away from him.
They fired Joe Brady because they're not running the ball enough, and the offense arguably got worse. So,
yeah, I know.
I'm not quite sure there. I was hoping Joe Brady would land in Eugene for my Ducks, but that didn't happen there, unfortunately. Yeah. Okay, let's move on here. The Carolina Panthers have lost 8 of the last 10 games started. They started 3-0 with my boy Sammy D. They were crushing it. CMC goes down. They've lost 8. Of the last 10, they've been in big trouble. Okay, let's move on to the Cardinals and the Lions. Again, Cardinals, 13-point road favorites. Now, Bills at home for 12, I get it. Cardinals on the road for 13, I know it's the Lions. But DeAndre Hopkins done for the regular season. He's going to be out here. James Conner not 100%, may or may not get. Chase Edmonds, a.k.a. our boy Cheese Almonds, who we haven't been able to reference too much this year.
Nope.
Christian Kirk's playing well. AJ Green's playing well. Rondale Moore should get more work here. Zach Ertz has played well. Kyler Murray should be just fine. But without Nuke Hopkins, that's obviously a problem. DeAndre Swift out on the other side here. Jamal Williams maybe out as well. Could be trouble there. And you can't start these third, fourth, fifth auxiliary running backs. TJ Hawkinson done for the season. Yep. Amon-Ra St. Brown might be the only option here. And of course, Goff is not startable here. So really tough play here for fantasy in general.
Yeah. The only guy you mentioned is Amon-Ra St. Brown. I do like him as a flex play. Even with Goff, again, I wouldn't start Goff, but in general, Amon-Ra St. Brown has seen 12 targets in each of his last two games, and he turned them into 159 receiving yards along with one touchdown. So if any of the guys you want to look at for potential receiving options, especially with Hawkinson out, he's probably your guy in this game.
I like that. The Arizona Cardinals 7-0 on the road this season. They've won each game by 10 plus points. So Vegas has given them an extra field goal in this one. I think Kyler's going to be just fine. Let's move on to the Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars, home 5-point favorites, Chris. All right. So your brother, Alex, who's come on the show multiple times here, runs the Commish Bets with their boy Desi. Yes. And they talk about the spreads and the bets and everything else every single week. So for TCKers that have not yet gone to your podcast for some reason, go download the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast and check out the Commish Bets episode every week for sporting lines. Well, this one opened at 2-point favorite, I think, for the Texans. Urban Meyer gets fired. It goes to a swing to a 3-point favorite for the Jaguars. And each day it's gone up a point.
Yeah. So
by the time this game plays, they might be favored by a touchdown. It's pretty remarkable. Of course, the Texans beat the Jacksonville Jaguars earlier this season here. So Urban Meyer's out. We're not going to get into that. Darrell Bevell takes over. Now, I actually really like Darrell Bevell being the head coach interim here. He's been playing calling the plays. He's coached Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford. He's played very well in good offenses. Bobby loves him. I think this helps the offense in general. The biggest one for fantasy, though, is going to be James Robinson. Carlos Hyde is out. Urban Meyer refused to let James Robinson do work. We saw last year this kid came out of nowhere, blew the hinges off, right? Comes in, of course, we had Travis Etienne, who was supposed to be great. He gets hurt. He's out for the season early. And then we get James Robinson, but he never really gets run. Trevor Lawrence has been calling for James Robinson, and still Urban Meyer was yet to do it. I think Darrell Bevell comes out and proves a point today or this weekend that that'll happen. So I like James Robinson a lot. Otherwise, in this game, man, I mean, again, Brandon Cooks are bust. James Robinson are bust. Marvin Jones, meh. I mean, there's not really much to talk about here for fantasy.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, Marvin Jones, I don't even think you have to – I don't think you can play him. He hasn't scored a touchdown since week six. He's only averaging 46.9 receiving yards per game. Yeah, dude, I don't know. I don't think you touch really anybody. Maybe Brandon Cooks is probably the only guy I'm looking at. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Jags offense. I'm kind of excited only because, I mean, even Trevor Lawrence is like, at least we have some clarity and direction now on the team. So that's insane that when your head coach leaves, you feel better to that degree, like to that extent where you're like, oh, now we have direction. It's wild. Usually when the head coach gets fired, you're kind of like, well, what are we going to do? But everyone's like, no, this is much better.
Yeah, and Darrell Bevell is the truth. He won't be the head coach next year. There's a lot of candidates out there, but I like Darrell Bevell a lot for the remainder of the season. Both of these teams in the AFC South, both of these teams 2-11, both of these teams going to be a top five pick, and this might be a top three pick here for the loser and still a top five pick for the winner. Houston, in general, has won seven straight games versus the Jaguars. Of course, most of those coming with Deshaun Watson. All right, Jets, Dolphins. The Dolphins are 9.5-point home favorites. The Jets have allowed 30.5 points per game this season. That's the most in the NFL. Jalen Waddle out for this game. Miles Gaskin should be playing, but he's been questionable all week long as well. You have Fuller still out. You have Albert Wilson, who's been just – Albert Wilson has like 30 targets in the last three games, and he's caught 12 of them. It's just not getting the efficiency, unfortunately. Devontae Parker's played well, but can you trust him? I like Tua in general in this matchup, but the Jets are the 26th ranked matchup versus quarterbacks. But is that because no one throws on them, or is it because they're that good? That's the question there. So Jets-Dolphins, man, not a lot to talk about. Michael Carter might be coming back, which could be fun. We haven't seen him in a while. But again, Zach Wilson-led offense, I'm not excited about it against this defense for Miami.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I like Michael Carter a lot. I like watching him play. So assuming he is healthy and good to go, I do like him as a flex play here. Maybe even as a running back too, just with as many COVID injuries or problems that we have going on. Jamison Crowder is interesting. I think, so in general, Crowder finishes as the wide receiver 19 the last time the Jets have played the Dolphins. And then the Dolphins in general are surrendering the sixth most fantasy points to wide receivers in the season. And so it could be a nice play for Jamison Crowder. The other person, I think if he's healthy still, Devontae Parker might be an interesting start as well with Waddle being out of the lineup. So, you know, Tua obviously, you know, having some good strong games as of late is going to need someone to throw to, and Parker might be that guy in flex plays. We got a Russell Gage or Devontae Parker question for the commish team, and it was kind of split 4-3 Russell Gage over Parker. But in general, I mean, I think if you can try to start one of the two, you should be okay.
Yeah, I think I lean Russell Gage there too.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the targets, and I know the Falcons are hit or miss, but I just can't trust Devontae Parker, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so I'll go that way. All right, let's move on to the Cowboys and the Giants. Cowboys, 10.5-point road favorites in this one. Dallas has won 8 of 9 against the Giants. It all comes down to Zeke, man. Again, Zeke comes out finally this week. It's been players. It's been front office. It's been Jerry Jones. It's been Mike McCarthy. It's Kellen Moore. Everybody says, oh, Zeke's great. He's healthy, blah, blah, blah. You watch him on the field, dude. He looks horrible. He looks injured and hurt and just not in a good shape. He comes out now and says it's the best he's felt in a long time. can we trust it, right? Are we going to get a full CeeDee Lamb, a full Amari Cooper, a full Dalton Schultz, Michael Gallup question earlier? Are we going to get all the boys back here for this game against the Giants? If we do, the Cowboys should run them, but you never know. And then if we get Zeke, are you going to start Pollard? That's really the question. Otherwise, I think you still got to start your studs here against the Giants. On the Giants side, comes down to Saquon Barkley, really, because I can't trust any of these wide receivers or your boy Daniel Jones and Evan Ingram. So Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard, are you comfortable with these guys this week in the fantasy playoffs?
Yeah, I think you have to be. These are some of these questions that, you know, although the team has been playing all that well, you kind of have to roll with the guys, you know, have gotten you there. So you just got to hope that they, you know, figure it out. One question for you that I'm not too sure about, and we got this on the commission, is do you play Dalton Schultz? So Schultz has just been 10% of the target share in Dallas the last two games, and he finished last week with a measly 1.4 points in fantasy for PPR. Dude, I don't know what do you do with that. You start him this week? I mean, he was tight end 3 for almost half the season or something, and then he's just fallen from grace. I don't know if it's because of the offense or just because maybe he's not playing or performing very well. Maybe a combination of the two, but I just don't really know what to do with Schultz here.
Well, Dak isn't Dak right now, and this offense isn't offense because they can't go through the run like they want to. Also, I think the biggest part of this, man, that some people were talking about before it happened and then it happened, Michael Gallup came back. Michael Gallup was out for a month, and Dalton Schultz was that number three look and killing it. And Amari Cooper was kind of hurt during that time too, right? Like, it was just opportunity, and at tight end, opportunity is king anyway in fantasy at tight end exponentially. So Dalton Schultz, I think, is a great player. He could always catch a touchdown randomly, but he is back in the streamable category, not an auto start. So if all three wide receivers are playing, Zeke's playing, Pollard's playing, I'm not going to play Dalton Schultz. If one of those wide receivers misses or Zeke somehow does, which I don't see that happening, then you can if you stream him, but I'm not comfortable with it.
Fair enough.
Okay, let's move on to the Titans and the Steelers. This is an even pick'em as of right now. Pittsburgh has allowed 421 total yards per game since week 11. That is the most in the NFL. Chris, you and I grew up with the steel, well, not the original steel curtain of the 70s, obviously, but our generation, the 90s, 2000s, Steelers, dominant, can't run on them, can't pass on them, right? Just play defense and run the ball, Steelers. They haven't been like that for at least the last month of the season. And they've been getting thrown all over. They've been getting shredded on the ground. The Titans obviously don't have Derrick Henry, but they have Devonta Foreman, and they are going to continue to run the ball. You look at the stat sheet, they are at least running the attempts. They're not getting the production because King Henry's out, but they're running it, running it, running it, play action. Julio Jones comes back, only 48% of the snaps, but he had six targets. If he plays a full slate of the game, he might have eight. Could be a little bit better there. We'll see what happens. For the Steelers, you know, Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, if you got a stream, is probably my only option. For the Titans side, Ryan Tannehill, if you've got a stream, I think it's sneaky and super flex, maybe DFS. And then I don't know if I've got the stones to start Julio, man. And I hate to say that, but I'm not sure I'm ready yet.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I probably won't be starting Julio. I don't have him in any of my leagues, but if I did, I'd probably be sitting him. But the guy I do like is Dante Foreman. We just talked about him. You are 100% correct. The Steelers are horrendous for actual NFL defense purposes. They're not the worst in fantasy for defense, but they are the third worst rushing DVOA rated team in the NFL. They're also allowing a league high 5 yards per carry. So there's a lot of upside here for Dante Foreman. If they get inside, you know, the 10, there's a good shot he ends up scoring in the end zone. So, and I do see them getting to the red zone quite often in this game. But it could also be a game where, you know, the Steelers get a lot of sacks as well. So I don't really know how Tannehill is going to do. I'm not necessarily super excited to play Tannehill, but Dante Foreman, I don't mind.
I agree. All right, let's do one more here, Chris, and we'll take a quick break here. Let's go Bengals and Broncos. This one's in Denver. Both teams at 7-6 in the quote-unquote in the hunt category when they bring it up on, you know, the national TV games. I always think that's kind of funny. Denver won three of the last four games versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Look, Joe Burrow, late comeback against my Niners. Jamar Chase finally woke up after about 6 weeks off for him. Two tutties and 100 yards. T. Higgins has been playing very well. Tyler Boyd, unfortunately, you know, streamable as a wide receiver three or four at best right now. CJ Uzomah not playable. Your boy Mixon came back down to earth, right? I mean, getting that usage, you got to play him, but I think you're a little bit more, you know, nervous about that. And for the Broncos side, the question's going to be, can you start any of these wide receivers comfortably? Can you start Noah Fant as a streamer? And which of these running backs do you play if either of them? They're still getting 50-50 work. We saw what Javonte can do, but Melvin Gordon comes back right away, jumps right back into his role. Pretty frustrating there. So a lot of names on paper and a lot of kind of like, oh, that guy's good, that guy's good, that guy's good on paper in this game. In Denver, could be very cold, could be snowy. I think this is kind of a trap game for fantasy, man. I really do.
Yeah, I can see that. I will say chances are, like, unless you handcuffed like Williams at the beginning of the season for Melvin Gordon, they're likely not on the same fantasy team. At least almost every league that I'm in, Gordon's on someone else's team, and Melvin Williams is on someone else's team, right? So
because you pick both of them in like the fifth or sixth round, so
yeah, exactly. So you probably don't have both, is my guess. So my point here is that in the commish playbook, we have two starts Williams and Gordon. So start both of them. Yeah, there's no reason to sit at either of them. I mean, they're both scoring. They're both getting the 50-50 split. And they're, like Austin Eckler, they're being very efficient with their touches. So no need to sit either of them. The dudes that I am sitting, though, in this game are guys like Tyler Boyd. Not loving him. He currently ranks as the wide receiver 49 in the season. And since week 9, he just has a touchdown in his last wide receiver 49 since week 9. And then he only has one touchdown since week 10. He only has 5.5 targets over his last 4 games. I'm just not loving Tyler Boyd here. You go with, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, no problem. But then the other guy is Courtland Sutton on the Broncos. I mean, he's wide receiver 39 overall, averaging just 3.9 points in PPR formats over his last 5 outings. And he's been held to just 40 fewer receiving yards in his last 6. So, yeah. Dude, not playing very well. Just not loving that matchup. But, yeah, I think you play Williams and Gordon, no problem.
Yep, and I think that the Broncos wide receiver thing is strictly, and I said this when Ted went to Carolina, I said the same thing, and when he went to Denver, I said the same thing. Teddy Bridgewater is fine for, like, NFL stuff. He doesn't lose games, but he's not going to win games either. Mm-hmm. For wide receivers and offenses for fantasy football, it's not beneficial, right? Like, it's just, he had a deep bomb to Tim Patrick in, like, week 1 and hasn't had much since. Jerry Jeudy is a phenomenal talent, not getting it done because of him. Tim Patrick's amazing, can't get it done, and Courtland Sutton now as well. When they get a gunslinger quarterback, which I think they can get in Denver, maybe the guy in Green Bay at this point, we'll see what happens. They get somebody like that in Denver, I think this offense could be absolutely elite. Until then, I'm not excited about that wide receiving core. Chris, we're going to get into the rest of our games here, but first I want to give a shout out to our friends at Carafactor. Chris and I will be right back with the rest of our week 15 game previews.
Hey, TCK Potters and Fantasy Focus community. Are you looking for options for hair loss? There are many options out there for treating it. However, most products treat the cause, such as DHT, and don't do much to support the growth of new and stronger hair. It's like removing harmful weeds from your lawn, but not doing much to fertilize the grass. That's why the Fantasy Focus and TCK team has partnered with Carafactor. Carafactor saw this problem and focused their research on finding just the right combination of biosynthetic growth factors and an innovative delivery system to promote fuller, stronger-looking hair. So whether you're a listener who suffers from various forms of alopecia or even stress-related hair loss, the Carafactor treatment is the perfect scalp-friendly solution that can help and influence stronger and healthy hair throughout all stages of the hair life cycle. And now, exclusively for TCK listeners, use the promo code TCK at checkout to get 15% off all products at shop.mycarafactor.com. That's shop.mycarafactor.com. Carafactor, skincare for hair.
All righty, let's jump in here. We just did the Bengals and the Broncos. Let's get in here to the Falcons and my 49ers. Now, Falcons, coming off a bye, have been tough for the last couple of weeks, and you never really know what you're going to get from the Atlanta Falcons, unfortunately. Obviously, they don't have the talent that we expected coming into the season. Julio Jones leaves. Calvin Ridley goes down. Mike Davis is not who we saw for a minute in Carolina last year, so it's been frustrating. But nonetheless, they can usually put up a fight at minimum. Cordarrelle Patterson's come up in a couple of our questions already, so we want to mention him. He's somebody that I'm definitely playing. Matt Ryan, I guess, is a streamer if you need to in Superflex. And Russell Gage came up as well. You know, again, like a deep kind of wide receiver 3 if you need somebody. Like Tyler Lockett's out, Jalen Waddle's out, Terry McLaurin. We'll talk about football team later, but Terry McLaurin's a wide receiver I don't want to play. You might be worried about DK Metcalf, which we'll talk about the Seahawks later too. If that's somebody, then maybe Russell Gage is a slot in. But otherwise, for the Falcons, I'll pass. For the 49ers, man, Brandon Ayuk, second half, I'm telling you, he did it again. He's doing it again. Debo Samuel healthy, you fire him up. George Kittle's on fire right now. I don't know if I can trust Jeff Wilson and Jermichael Hasty and with Elijah Mitchell banged up too. So it's going to be tough. The 49ers have lost 8 of the last 11 home games. Horrendous. Losing the home games. Not going to work here. They are a 9.5-point favorite, though, this week against Atlanta.
Yeah, dude. So a couple of things here about the Ayuk situation. What's interesting is that I feel like Debo Samuel is taking up the Patterson role on the 49ers. Yeah. Feels like the lead running back.
Far more rushing attempts for Debo Samuel than targets.
Yeah. So Kyle Shanahan's doing exactly what they're doing with Cordell Patterson across the field this week. So Ayuk is sliding into that opportunity, and it's good because, I mean, for whatever it's worth, the 49ers are making that. It's difficult to defend against those types of things. So that's good for them, especially, and also helps for fantasy purposes. So obviously roll with that. The other guy we did talk about is Russell Gage. I do feel good about Russell Gage again. Over the past four games, he's averaging 8.3 targets, 305 yards and a touchdown, which is overall good enough for wide receiver 13 in PPR formats. So from a fantasy perspective, you know, that's a little bit less than a quarter of the season. The dude's been, you know, just outside the top 12. So I think you got to fire him up. He's slotting into that, you know, Calvin Ridley hole, if you will, pretty nicely. And, you know, I don't expect a lot out of the Falcons from an NFL perspective, but they're doing enough to just get their main guys, Patterson and Russell Gage, and a little bit of Pitts, enough volume to be fantasy relevant.
This is low key, like a really big game in the NFC from two teams, like from the, on the outside, you're kind of like, meh, you know, these teams are like third, fourth in their divisions, you know, whatever, look into next season. The Niners are 7-6, should have beat the Seahawks 2 weeks ago. They should be 8-5. Mm-hmm. Looking at like a 9-5 record would be sick. There could be 8-6, or right now the sixth seed. The Falcons most likely not making the playoffs, but if the Falcons win this game, they're both 7-7. All of a sudden, the Falcons jump into the seventh seed. Who knows what's going to happen with the Washington football team, who have no quarterback as we have this podcast. This is kind of an insane game, like low-key, really important for the NFL this week. So, we'll
dude, it is. And just to cap on that, I mean, the Vikings are 6-7. The Saints are 6-7. Like, you know, there are a lot of good teams, or I air quotes good teams. Dude, they're kind of in the playoff hunt. So,
yep. Well, and again, we mentioned this, you know, on Monday. I was talking about there's no old school Patriots, old school Colts, Broncos, Chiefs as of late, Packers even, Drew Brees, Saints a few years ago. Like, there's no team that's like, you know, 12-1, 12-2, 11-3, just absolutely smashing the league. Like,
I know
there's the front runners, but even the top is close. The middle, you know, the middle's close, and then the bottom, kind of in the hunt. There's like seven teams on each conference. Man, a lot will shake out in this next month. We'll see, and we of course have the extra game this year. Okay, let's go to the final Sunday game, and then we'll get into Sunday night football. Of course, we have Monday and Tuesday as well. Packers, Ravens. Man, I don't think this game's going to be as cool as everybody wants it to be. Packers are 10-3. They are kind of like the cream of the crop of the NFC with the Buccaneers. Ravens at 8-5. Baltimore 5-1 at home this season, 3-4 on the road. So that's good for the Baltimore Ravens at home. Aaron Rodgers has been absolutely out of his mind lately. Davante Adams is unguardable. The Ravens have no secondary right now. They've been just demolished. They're great against the run, horrendous against the pass. I don't like A.J. Dillon. You can't sit Aaron Jones, but I don't love Aaron Jones in this play unless he gets 9 dump offs and runs one in for a touchdown. Devontae is automatic, obviously. I'm going to sit the rest of the wide receivers for the Packers. On the other side, if Lamar plays, you play Hollywood Brown. If Lamar doesn't play, you play Rashad Bateman, in my opinion. And Mark Andrews, you play either way. He's been absolutely fantastic. And then I'm good with Devonta Freeman, man. I keep waiting for like the shoe to drop, but he keeps scoring.
He gets
enough done. He's working in the pass game.
Yep.
I'm okay with that. A lot comes down to Lamar playing, but either way, you know, they played pretty well last week when Lamar went out too.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't really have much more to add. I'll kind of agree here. I don't know how I feel about the game. I mean, I think Lamar Jackson's trending to not play, which kind of sucks for fantasy purposes, but kind of have to live with it. I think Marquise Brown takes a hit. Andrews is a little up in the air. I mean, he's still, I think, tight end 3 on the season, or tight end 2 on the season, but you know, could have a not so great game.
Just the whole offense runs through him though.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that matters when you're a tight end, especially.
Yeah, exactly. So of course you got to start him. But for the one guy you did mention was AJ Dillon. I think Aaron Jones is now fully healthy, so he is expected to play. I will note that the Ravens defense, although they're not like the Ravens defense of old, they're still only allowing the 6 fewest PPR points to opposing running backs. Mm-hmm. So I don't think AJ Dillon's a flex play like you would have seen without Aaron Jones in the game. So that's the only guy I'm a little bit nervous about.
Yep. Standard leagues, like non-PPR leagues, I'd be okay with AJ Dillon.
Sure.
But any flare out pass game with the blitzes, they, you know, blitz a lot with the Ravens. If they're going to bring that to Rodgers, it's going to be Tay Adams on slants and it's going to be Aaron Jones out of the backfield all day long. So I like that a lot for Aaron Jones, but that's not really AJ Dillon's game. So mm-hmm. I like that. All right, Sunday Night Football, man. Saints and Bucks. Bucks are 11.5-point favorites. This is kind of like – now, the Saints have won 6 straight games against the Buccaneers, which includes 2 last year and 1 this year. And the Buccaneers have, like, kind of been – or I'm sorry, the Saints, excuse me. The Saints have kind of been, like, the Brady kryptonite here, like – 0-3 since he's been in Tampa, and like this is the biggest rival in that division, obviously. And you look on paper, it's not even close.
No.
It's not even close. The only player on the Saints that can match up to anybody on the Buccaneers would be Alvin Kamara. Everybody else, though, it leans Bucks, obviously. So we'll see what happens here. Obviously favored by 11.5 points. You start everybody. This is indoor. It's outdoor. It's outdoor with Tampa Bay, so at home. But Brady and company start. Fournette, I'm good with, if he can play. Now, Fournette is trending the wrong direction as well. If not, Ronald Jones might be sneaky if Fournette doesn't go. If Fournette plays, I'm playing him. Gronk is a smash. I'm playing, all the wide receivers, right? Mm-hmm. AB probably still not coming back in, still on suspension there. And on the other side, it's just going to be Alvin Kamara for me. I know that Callaway and Traquan have had a couple of big plays, but I'm not really – playing that game. So Kamara and then basically all of your Bucks. I know the Saints are very good against the run, but the Buccaneers I think are going to be just fine, and I can't imagine sitting Leonard Fournette if he starts.
Yeah, agreed. I don't really have much more to add. You kind of covered that all. It seems to be the type of game that the Bucks should fare out pretty well. Dude, again, another 11.5-point spread. That's crazy.
Bucks have had, you know, I need to do some research because I feel like every single week you and I have been like, wow, the Bucks are favored by like 12, 13 and a half.
Are they covering them or no?
Again, I got to do some research because unless they just straight up get like bamboozled and upset, you know, which they have a couple times this year, then yeah, they've been smashing. So, but look, at home, Brady knows better than we do that he's lost 3 in a row to the Saints. Trust me, I think he's going to come out and try to put up 5 touchdowns on him and put that to bed immediately. All right, let's move on here to the Monday day game. Like the Monday game, we've moved the Raiders and Browns, who were supposed to play on Saturday. We've moved them to Monday as well with the Vikings and Bears, who were originally slotted there. So now the Raiders and the Browns move and postpone their game because of COVID issues. The Raiders have a negative 91-point differential since the week 8 bye. That's the worst in the NFL in the second half of the season. Again, Browns are 7-6 in the hunt. Raiders are 6-7, not really in the hunt, but could play spoiler in this one. Baker Mayfield out with COVID. Case Keenum, the backup, out with COVID. My man, Nicky Mullins, first mention on the podcast, maybe all season long, looking to get the start. Love to see that. But look, I mean, this could be 30 attempts for Nick Chubb because Kareem Hunt is also out.
Yep.
Can you stream D'Ernest Johnson, man? This kid, when he's had limited opportunity in the 2 NFL games, they've given him real work. He has absolutely smashed. Can you play him to at least get that Kareem Hunt role? And then you have, you know, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku's out again, so Hooper maybe. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones, I think, remains a sneaky upside. If nothing else, I think he's a good DFS play. On the other side for the Raiders, I hate to say it, but Josh Jacobs looks like an absolutely wonderful play this week here. Again, not many options. Darren Waller's out again. Foster Moreau was just not the option there at the pass catcher. And outside of Hunter Renfro, it looks like Josh Jacobs will probably get all of the work there. And they this could just be a game where each team runs the ball 30 times and tries to get the hell out of there with like a, you know, 14-13 win.
Yeah, no, I agree with you here. You talked about D'Ernest Johnson. Like, I like him as a player. He plays just fine, but The Browns need this win. So they're going to do everything in their absolute power to make sure they get the win. And without Mayfield and really, you know, a strong passing options within that core, it's going to be Nick Chubb's game until they have a very secured lead. They'll mix in Johnson here and there to give Nick Chubb kind of a break, if you will. But this is Nick Chubb's game to own. And the Raiders are not particularly good on defense against the run. So I do see the Browns winning this one in a low scoring type of matchup.
Got it. So there's no spread right now, Chris. Score prediction.
I'm going to go 20 to 17 Browns.
20-17 Browns. All right. I'll do Price is Right rules maybe. We'll go 21 to 21 to 16.
Love it.
I'm going to throw out a Cynthia Freeland score here and see what happens there. All right. Let's move on here to the true Monday night game, which is the Vikings and the Bears. The Vikings are a 6-point road favorite here. Chicago has won 5 of the last 6 games versus Minnesota. That surprises me. The Vikings continue to be a team where I'm like, damn, Cousins is playing really well. Jefferson's unguardable. Like, Dalvin Cook is Dalvin Cook. Even Madison's amazing. Conklin's playing pretty well. Thielen's hurt, but they have KJ Osborne who's playing really well. And you look at the record, you're like 6-7. We did this last year. They're like fake bozos. I don't get it, dude. Like, it's kind of silly. And then the Bears, look, man, I think they're turning a corner with Justin Fields here. We'll see. Allen Robinson will be gone next year. Darnell Mooney should get a bigger piece of the pie next year. I'm excited about him. David Montgomery's played very well lately. But again, for fantasy, it's like for the Vikings, you start Jefferson, you start Cousins, in my opinion, and you start Cook, of course. KJ Osborne's a flyer, maybe, if you need it. For the Bears, Justin Fields and super flex, but I'm not good to stream him in single. And then David Montgomery, but I can't really trust Darnell Mooney anymore because Allen Robinson isn't productive with his targets, but he's back and he's at least getting the targets again. So this one's really frustrating here for the Bears.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't necessarily feel great about playing anybody on the Bears this week, so I'm going to sort of just pass on them. The Vikings, dude, they're a bit of a heartbreaker because they've played good teams and they've lost like barely. Like lost
field goals.
Yeah, field goals, exactly. Like literally within points. So, and then they obviously had that heartbreaker against the Detroit Lions, but I'm happy for the Lions because I wanted to see them win a game. So, but that's besides the point, dude. Yeah, I it's just one of those games where I think the Vikings should take care of this game handily. They're just better on both sides of the ball. The Bears in particular are not very, or at least playing very well on defense. They're rated right now 28th overall defense in the NFL, according to PFF. So yeah, I like the Vikings here.
I like the Vikings here as well. The Vikings seem to continue to be a team that plays to their competition. Like they play the Lions and they have a 16-13 game. They play the Buccaneers and they have an absolute shootout. Like, doesn't make any sense there. Okay, 2 games left, Chris. Now we've moved on to Tuesday. All right, eventually we'll probably have a Wednesday game as well. We are moving on to Tuesday now. The Seahawks and the Rams are the first one up. Football team and Eagles following them. Seahawks 5-8, Rams 9-4. The Rams have won 4 of 5 against the Seahawks, including the playoffs here. This, again, no spread here from Vegas for these last games that have moved, so we don't have the number yet, but it'll come up, obviously, before the game. If you're interested in betting and stuff, we just don't have that information as of right now because they just moved it. For the Seahawks, Tyler Lockett out. That's massive, I think, on both sides of the pendulum. Massive because it takes away the obviously, like, the best deep threat, and it breaks my heart not to call DK Metcalf the best deep threat for the Seahawks, but he just isn't. Tyler Lockett's unbelievable with Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf was way better with Geno Smith. Like, it doesn't make any sense. That's the way it is. So, Chris, are you taking the mindset of Tyler Lockett's out, DK Metcalf, 15 targets, 10 catches, 150 yards, and 3 touchdowns, or DK Metcalf hasn't been over 60 yards in 2 months? He hasn't scored since the bye week. He doesn't do anything with Russell Wilson. What is the problem with DK? And now the Rams can double team him, no problem. Now, Alex Collins not getting it done. Rashad Penny played very well last week. He had a career day, 2 touchdowns, 130 yards. He comes out, and, you know, can you start Russ? On the other side for the Rams, I don't know anybody that you can sit. I mean, Van Jefferson, I'm good with. Odell Beckham's out, so Cup's automatic. Stafford's automatic. Higby is back from COVID. He's back in. I'm okay with him to stream. And then this Henderson, Sony Michel thing's a pain in the ass, but whoever's the starter, I'm good to run with them.
Yeah, I'll kind of work in reverse here. The Sony Michel situation, I actually think you got to start him. He's actually been running back 14 in PPR over the last 2 games. He has 208 total yards from scrimmage and a touchdown on 47 touches. I think Henderson's still technically part of the protocol as of Thursday. So I think he misses, but the game got pushed to Tuesday. So I don't know, but I think you still got to start Michel regardless.
Lockett could hypothetically play also Tuesday. So we have just have the information we have tonight.
I know,
but shit could get crazy, man. We just don't know.
I agree. And actually on the Lockett situation, the best thing for DK Metcalf, if you're planning on playing him, is if Lockett comes back. I know that's insane to say, but dude, you're right. You cannot. The way Metcalf has been playing, And there's no Lockett to take away from the defensive scheme. I don't know how you play Metcalf. I know he's a physical freak. I know he's got the name, but dude, you can't start him. We've been talking about this literally for weeks. You cannot play him. You just can't. Don't do it. That's my
I've been thinking to myself, because I love DK Metcalf, man. I've been a Metcalf over Lockett, Lamb over Cooper kind of guy all season long, right? And the Metcalf thing, I keep thinking in my head, like, okay, what's that like marquee DK Metcalf play this year where you're like, dude, that's what we want to see. Well, it's that like 78 or 84, whatever the hell it was, yard touchdown on primetime TV with Geno Smith against the Saints. If you watch that play though, dude, first of all, he just like primetime Mike Evans push off. Like it was Hall of Fame offensive pass interference. Not even a question about it. Pushes the dude into the ground, catches it over him, mosses him, and then he just sprints because he's faster than everybody else. That's the play. Outside of that play, dude, nothing. Like all year long, you know, 100-yard game outside of that. It breaks my heart because DK is an absolute animal, but just isn't in the cards, unfortunately. So I am worried about the Seahawks, and maybe it is better if Lockett comes back. But, of course, we got to play as if he doesn't. All right, finally, Chris, here. We're rolling through the whole gamut tonight. Washington football team, Philadelphia Eagles. This is another one that has moved on. You and I have been talking about this all evening. We talked pre-show here about the quarterback situation for the football team. Philadelphia has 210 rushing yards per game since week 8. That's the most in the NFL. So that's obviously Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, and the rest of the team. 210 rushing yards as a team, most in the NFL. That's surprising to me because I don't think of Philly as like a heavy run team. But assuming Jalen Hurts plays and Miles Sanders plays, I'm good to start both of those guys. The Boston Scots and the Kenny Gainwells for the fantasy playoffs, I'm sticking away from those guys except for like a DFS cheap flyer kind of a thing. Devontae Smith, you know, I guess, but that's a volume PPR thing. I wouldn't expect a big day from him. And then Dallas Goedert, of course. On the other side, for the football team, yo, like they're picking – I mean, they're down to like, what, the fourth string? I mean, if you count Ryan Fitzpatrick, like they're down to four-string quarterback, fifth-string quarterback.
They gave me a call, dude.
There you go. So, yeah, did you turn them down? You're busy this weekend, though,
I heard. I got other working plans.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a holiday season. You can't go, hey, you know, sorry, babe. I know it's, you know, Christmas time of year. I got to jump this game for the football team, you know, drive out to, you know, Philadelphia from Massachusetts. That's not going to happen. So, I know. Too bad for you. Another opportunity will come in, I'm sure. But it's been tough. I mean, they have no quarterback. I've been saying it since the beginning of the show. Terry McLaurin has been my dog since he came into the league. I drafted him this year, super excited about the upside with Fitzpatrick. And even if he doesn't, Heinicke, whatever, it just hasn't been there. The volume's been there. So he's like floating in the RB or wide receiver two zone, but he's not had big, massive games except for one against the Packers. I'm not starting Terry McLaurin this week, period. I'm not doing it. I think I'm playing like KJ Osborne or something over him. Now, Antonio Gibson might have a Chubb game, right? He might have 30 carries in this game. I'm good with that. No McKissick and Ricky Seals-Jones, if you need a flyer, I guess, but Philly's pretty good against wide receivers, but they're the worst against tight end. So Ricky Seals-Jones might be an option there too. So this game is really, really messy, man, and there's so many question marks. Football team is ravaged with COVID. Really, really tough one here for fantasy. Gibson and – Hurts / Sanders are really the only like plug and plays for me outside of Goddard.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I literally wrote here, just fire up Gibson and sit everybody else on the football team. So that's your advice, everyone. The only other guy that I'll mention here is Devonta Smith for the Eagles. So in general, the Washington football team has a 6th worst pass DVOA rating in the NFL at the moment. They're giving up the 3rd most PPR points to opposing wide receivers. So of the potential flex options you have in the Eagles, it could be Smith, again, with Hurts coming back. So I do like the Smith play in a flex option.
Fantastic. All right, folks, again, we have a Saturday game as of right now. All right. Then we have all of the Sunday slate, Sunday Night Football. We have 2 games on Monday, Raiders, Browns, Vikings, Bears. And then we have 2 games on Tuesday as well. Please make sure that you're updating your rosters and paying attention. The Patriots and Colts, as of right now, play on Saturday. That game could be postponed for whatever reason up in the week as well. So pay attention. Follow your rosters. Make sure you're using the IR slots best you can. Run the waiver wire best you can. Play defense on waiver against your opponent if you'd like to. Otherwise, best of luck to everybody this weekend. Bob's going to be with you with his player trends episode, which, again, is my favorite episode on this channel every single week. That includes the ones that Chris and I do. No offense, my brother. Bobby puts in hours and hours and hours of research into every single team, every single player. He's working overtime this week because all the COVID issues on top of the injuries and things. So the player trends and key injuries of note right up to kickoff is so important, everybody. He talks about defense, coordinators being out for certain teams. That's going to matter this weekend. Make sure you tune into that episode on Saturday. Listen to the Saturday episode. And, of course, come back and join the boys Sunday morning from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time for our Sunday Start Sit Live show right here on the Fantasy Focused YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook channel. And if you miss the podcast live, dial back on us on the podcast side, Fantasy Football TCK, the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. And, of course, Chris, for any of the new TCK Potters, again, we have a couple new names here, and we have one last question to let us out. But before we do that, please let everybody know where they can find your content personally and all the commish work.
Yeah, absolutely. So go follow us on all notable podcast platforms, the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast. We have a little Christmas guy with a little hat. Can't miss him. And then go follow us over on our social media handles at the Commish FFP on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. And then our website, the Commish Brand. com, and then you can go sign up for our free newsletter. Comes out every Tuesday. It's you can find it on the commishbrand.com/the-playbook.
Perfect. We have one last question before we get out of here from our man Clap Nuts. Start two: Ayuk, Gallup, Cooks, Parker, AJ Green, full PPR. Chris, again, we're starting two full PPR. Ayuk, Gallup, Cooks, Parker, AJ Green.
I'm going Ayuk and Parker here for this.
That was quick. Ayuk and Parker. Ayuk for sure.
Cooks would be my third option. You're
leading Jalen Waddle. I am.
I know you like him.
But Jalen Waddle being out, I think that's the difference maker. I think that's a good
the only reason. That's the only reason. Yeah.
I'm gonna roll with you here. So Clap. We're both gonna go with Ayuk and Parker, and then a fallback plan to Cooks in case something funky happens with either one of those guys. So best of luck to everybody tuning in the chat section. Again, we got some new names in here, so thank you. Hope you tune back to us. We're on air every single night, and of course the podcast every single morning, Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. It's been a pleasure. Best of luck, everybody. It's crazy, but we're in the fantasy football playoffs. Wishing you the best this weekend. Tune back with us next week. We'll catch you again. Chris, best of luck to you, my man. Get some W's. We'll be back out of here, and I will catch you all later. For my man Christopher Benavides and the rest of the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast, I'm your host, Sky Guasco, and we are out of here.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.